This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own It Show, Coach Conversations, because that's where the best conversations happen. I'm Justin.
And I'm Elise. Welcome to the show.
So if you have been present on this planet, when I say present, it's just a simple level of awareness. Over the last couple of years, you've definitely heard of the cold plunge. And when I say the cold plunge, it may not be the brand, but it's definitely the act of getting into cold water, doing something difficult, choosing to do it, and how it's fitting into your day-to-day routine. You've probably heard of people getting into cutting holes in the middle of lakes and hopping in, or just hopping into a cold stream, or having a cold shower is even something that people have spoken about. But today we're bringing on somebody who's made it their mission to provide a product that makes it now accessible to people. Because the biggest thing was like, how do we do this? How do we make this something that's purposeful, actionable, and doable on a day-to-day basis? And so this is exciting for us to do because I've had this as a part of my routine for a long time, and going right back to athletics, where hopping into that dreaded cold tub after hockey and after games, just to kind of clear any of that inflammation that was going on. But I'm really excited to introduce you to the guy that has ultimately made this his mission, being on Shark Tank, the journey of some different businesses he was involved with, and ultimately came up with something completely different than he would have ever imagined. And so without further ado, Ryan Dewey, it's a pleasure to have you on the show and share your journey with our audience.
That's a pleasure to be here with you too. Thanks for that introduction.
Ryan, I'm so curious because this isn't your first go at something in this recovery space or in the health optimization space, the wellness space. What really encapsulated you in this and kind of had that mission behind it for you to want to go into this line of work?
In the cold plunge or health and wellness in general?
Health and wellness in general.
Man, I don't think when I first started, it was like overly articulated into, you know, I didn't know where I was going to go and start more businesses within the space or do it. But, you know, for me, it was like, it had to be something that I was just so clearly aligned with that was just who I was, that I was never going to doubt if this is what I want to be doing or if this is like, you know, sacrificing any principles or values of myself. It was just like, this is what I want to get into. And I didn't view myself early as like an entrepreneur. You know, the first business I started was Capital Floats, was a float therapy facility, like sensory deprivation tank facility. And it was just something that I got into that changed my life. And I was like, this is magical. Like, how do I bring this at scale to more people? Like, I want to get more people doing this. And so I think for like any, like the companies that have come since then, I just have recognized how hard running a company is. And if I ever woke up and doubted if this is something that's like I view as a net positive to the world, then I don't think I could keep going when it got hard. You know, some people, I actually am really impressed with people that just are very driven entrepreneurially, and it's not something they like care about deeply, but they can just go create a successful business in and they can keep going. For me, I mean, I have doubts all the time. I struggle all the time. I question, you know, have insecurities, all the things. And it's like, if it doesn't matter, I think I would have stopped way early in the process at all the companies that I've started.
It's unique that you say that you didn't see yourself as an entrepreneur. You didn't see yourself as a business owner. What did you do to overcome that imposter syndrome or that belief that sat deep within you to ultimately allow yourself to become successful?
It's a great question, man. I think about that all the time, especially for people starting out, have like kind of gone through that. And I still face that imposter syndrome at certain levels of things that I'm into now. I think for me, I look back, like Capital Floats was that first thing that I started. And to me, it's like a commitment. Like I was so committed to starting that facility, like to a level that looking back probably had its own unhealthy, like I would have died before I would have given up not creating that first facility. And it almost took me there. You know, I ran myself in the ground, but if I didn't have that level of commitment, I wouldn't have got that project done. Like I just, for myself, it just wouldn't have happened. And so I had this beyond even, I think, my conscious mind knew of like this commitment of like, you will get this done and you're going to get this done. And I think probably due to some level of like proving to myself that I could, that I was even capable of doing it. You know, but like I look back at like meetings I sat in or like invest, you know, I went and raised money for that company. And it was like, I didn't know what I was doing. This was off of like movies and videos of like what you think an entrepreneur should be doing. And I'm like saying the words in these meetings and I'd leave them just like, am I just a jackass? Like, do I not know? Like, you know, I felt like that imposter. And you just, I don't know. I think it's important to get enough small wins that you just kind of keep going. You're like, okay, cool. Like, I'm capable. I can do this. And I also think not making it, like, doing the next thing in front of you. And, you know, whatever that is. I think we all know what the next thing in front of us should be. Like, when we're trying to plan the 10 steps away, that's when I think it gets really, really messy. And we think this is how it should be or where I'm going, where as opposed to, you know, like, maybe you just study what SEO is, or maybe you just need to like take a quick course on Wix of how to start a website, or get the Instagram handle, or make a phone call to someone and ask a question that's on your mind right then, not of like what you think a big time entrepreneur should be doing. So I think, you know, the imposter syndrome, it's inevitable. If you're doing anything that matters, if you're doing anything outside your comfort zone, it's like you better just embrace it, and it's coming. And the hacks along the way, you know, be surrounded by good people that are going to pick you up when you're down. You know, I think going through Plunge, another hack is like if you can find a co-founder, like that to me is like a really big hack for the imposter syndrome, because days that you're down, they're usually not, and you can kind of carry each other over the finish line or just keep moving together. But yeah, it's the imposter syndrome. It's always there to some level.
Thank you for sharing that with us, because, you know, a lot of people in today's day and age are experiencing that, but oftentimes aren't able to be comfortable being vulnerable enough to admit that. So thank you for sharing that, because it's true. Most people, I mean, unless you're, you know, somebody who's been through it a million times before, most people do come up against that imposter syndrome. And it's, you know, even myself, I'm somebody who had a really stable career prior to becoming an entrepreneur. I did both my starting my business while I was in my previous corporate job for about a year. And I was like, I thought I was going to blow past the imposter syndrome. And I was like, no, I've been preparing for this for a year. I'm good. And then the second I detached from my previous identity, it was like, it all came flooding in. And it's real. It's real. It's scary. It's something that has to be dealt with. But like you said, having a co-founder and somebody there by your side who's experienced it themselves, understands your context, understands your situation is really, really helpful and even a hack. Mm-hmm. One of the things I want to dive into is I know the amazing intro that Justin gave you alongside. You talked about in the very beginning, this idea of being connected to a greater purpose. So tell us a little bit more about what your specific purpose is right now in your life.
I mean, you talked about it, Justin, at the beginning of like this, you know, as collective things, like collectively things improving. I forget exactly how you phrased it, but what immediately came to my mind is this term that I call all boats rise. There's different ways of saying it, but basically win-win relationships, people around me thriving, like, you know, that has become in this moment, and that's always hasn't been. I think purposes, for me at least, they transform and they change, and, you know, something that was there for me 5 years is different now. But for me, it's all boats rise. So that comes from, like, you know, very focused with Plunge right now. And so it's this product that I, you know, we have a slogan, take the plunge, change your life. We are very clear and know if you get a cold plunge, like, you're going to change your life. And that's just like, we will guarantee that. Like, if you do this, like, I guarantee it. So it's like to the world that we work with as customers and to our community. And then it's also internally, like, I'm very committed to our employees and everyone that works here, like, their lives being better. Like, whether that's through Plunge or whether they go off to go do something else, like, if you join this company, like, you will be better off than when you first started this company. So, you know, that's the purpose right now. Friendship groups, things I'm around. I want to be a spot where it's like people can look to me and be like, you know, there's a net positive of being around me. And so it's like, however that looks. And so that's my barometer right now. Like if you enter my sphere and vice versa, it's not like a one piece. Like I find that transforms into other people, that transcends into my own self of the people that I'm around. So, I mean, the purpose to me has always been key. It's like, you know, starting capital floats. I always go back to that one because that was like the first one. That was like something I've never been so committed to starting something. I was, you know, I worked a different pro soccer, corporate business, you know, the front office of a pro soccer team. And I loved it, but stepping out onto my own, it was like, this is my baby now. And so, you know, you mentioned the word purpose, and it just, I think, is the most crucial. Like, you got to have it to some degree. I'm sure you guys, I would imagine with your guys' thing, like, that is, you guys run into roadblocks all the time. And, like, how do you create consistently, be connected to that purpose? Because that's what keeps moving me forward.
We talk about it all the time. Is, as an entrepreneur, it's never an easy walk. It's never a linear journey. And we just brought on a full-time COO and CFO, and we said, "Hey guys, do you like roller coasters?" And they were like, "Oh yeah, we love them." Like, and we started talking like, "What's your favorite one?" And they were ripping out some names of roller coasters. I'm like, "Amazing. You're about to get on an amazing roller coaster, a roller coaster that will not end. And it is going to be the worst one you've ever been on in terms of ups and downs and ebbs and flows. But I tell you what, it will be your favorite roller coaster ever." And they're like, "I love it." And so it's just knowing that the road's not easy. The road is not always paved. You have to be committed to that thing that's bigger than you. You have to be committed to that mission, that vision, those values that has set this purpose on fire inside of you to keep moving forward on. And if you truly do, and if you, I believe this so to the depths of my soul, if you show up every day and are consistently committed to whatever your mission, vision, and purpose is for doing what you're doing, it is inevitable that you will be successful because you will do whatever it takes in order to be that way. And it's that simple.
You nail it. It's an everyday thing. I think it's like that's where it's all this stuff's not that complicated. It's just doing it every single day. You know, it's just like literally, it's just every single day, consistency wins. Like
it's very simple. It's not easy.
It's very simple. We get caught up in the glamour of what we see in the world, but it's all the minutia, and that's where this whole thing happens. That's where everything great is built. And it's not, you know, that same statement of like the roller coaster ride, you know, Plunge is like my really first growth startup that I've like been a part of. And so this is new for me, but I, you know, as the founder of this company, CEO, I'm learning a lot, but I'm actually learning like what a startup entails. Capital Floats was a brick and mortar facility. Yeah, it was a startup, but very small. You know, the scalability of it was very regional. It was a different beast. You know, we open another location. It's just kind of like you do the blueprint, you open up, you get the next one. Where Plunge is truly a startup. And everyone that's come on, I'm like, okay, we know what the word startup, you hear it. Like, are you ready for the roller coaster ride? Like, it is going to be, everyone wants to say they want to be a part of a startup, but it's like, and we see it. Some people last and some don't. And there's nothing wrong. It's not a good or a bad, but it's like, do you want consistency that you're going to have the same thing every day? Or are you open to change every single day and get blindsided? Because that is truly what, you know, a startup or some growth company or new venture really looks like. And so, yeah, I mean.
Absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs themselves who will likely relate very heavily to this idea of the ups and downs, the roller coasters. And earlier you gave a piece of advice when it comes to having a partner, because likely when they're down, you're not down, or vice versa, right? If they're down, you'll be up.
Or you can help each other get out of it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what one of my questions to you is, what do you do on those days where you are feeling down or somebody on your team might be feeling down? How do you work with those low days?
It's an interesting question because there's the low days where it's like, you know, as the leader of this team, it's like, I don't want to dump that on the team sometimes. I'm not looking to, that is something I find important, that I bring a level of consistency and, you know, my weight doesn't become anyone else's weight. But that's the beauty of the co-founder, because I can come to him and be like, I'm struggling right now, or this is my thing. I also have an amazing partner, and she's great that, you know, is a space that I could share when I'm struggling. So, those are the things that I really lean on, is just individuals in my life that I can turn to. I also, after enough struggles, I know what a night's sleep does. Like, just, and no matter how bad it gets, it's so simple. Just like, if I'm really spinning out, it's like, go to bed. Like, I literally just tell myself, go to bed, go lay down. Like, tomorrow, whatever, let's see if this is really a problem tomorrow. So, you know, that has been my MO of good night's sleep. And it's not some revolutionary concept, but it has gotten me through. It has kept me from doing so many, like, probably poor decisions that would have compounded an issue by just going to sleep.
It's so funny that you say that, because you can compound the good, but you can easily compound the bad as well. And being able to come back to doing simple better. And simple is not easy. And simple and easy are not the same thing. Climbing a mountain, we always talk about it. It's very simple. You go from the bottom to the top, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's going to take work. It's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. But it's doable. It's accomplishable. And so I think that's something that that I love to kind of go off of. I want to shift gears a little bit, because there's some major irony to something that we said earlier about doing hard things on purpose and being able to set yourself up to succeed. And doing hard things on purpose is, I think, a big ingredient to that, is choosing hard, choosing to lean into that, and getting into the product that you make, getting into the cold plunge, is choosing to do something hard every single day. And I know thousands of entrepreneurs within our circle that and a lot of people within our community that have gone out and purchased the plunge or have some aspect of cold immersion in their day because they're actively choosing to do this. And so not only did you build a product that helps people do things that are hard on purpose, but you chose to start a startup in the middle of COVID, which is also not an easy choice, like not something that's easy. It is choosing to do something hard on purpose during a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd love you just to shed some light on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think from the plunge perspective, I always look at that. I'm like, it's very, like, I feel like entrepreneurship is just doing the next thing. So like, we didn't overthink it. We never thought that we would be this, you know. I think if we sat down, we might've said, yeah, we see ourselves as a massive brand shipping thousands of plunges all over the world. But, you know, it was like, we're in his garage. It's like, how do we sell one of these? Like, what do we do? Oh, you know, you get an Instagram handle, you know, let's email our other float spas and just say, hey, this is what we've been working on over the pandemic. Like, we didn't overthink it into some grandiose, like, should we be launching this company right now? It was like, let's try and sell one of these and go from there. So I think—
What was that journey to sell that first one?
Dude, it was—
Do you remember who bought it?
Well, so there were two— Yes, I do remember. There were two people— a couple, it's kind of, there's a multiple firsts. There was two that was purchased because Mike, my co-founder, he was the real engineer behind this and he was building this out of his garage. And so then he came to me and was like, do you want to do this? And I was going through my own personal journey at that time of business shutting down, moved into an RV to save money. Like, I was just, my life was kind of in this own space that I had to focus on. But anyways, I decided, let's do it. So he had two people from Reboot, Float, and Cryo that bought one from him, just kind of like a side deal. Like, I don't even know how they knew he was building them, but they just were like, yeah, we'll buy. It was like two that were purchased. That was like his own thing. And then we turned the web, we built the website and we turned it on. And I remember I was kind of on this last hurrah trip out to Wyoming in the RV. And we were on, and we turned the website on, and in 45 minutes, someone bought a plunge through our website. Like, we hadn't marketed at all. I was like, that's when it, that was what, you have those, I have certain moments where you're like, this could work. And it was like, and I remember Mike calling me like, oh my God, someone bought a cold plunge. I'm like, how do they even know we have a website? Like, they just spent, I think the unit was like 3,500 maybe at that time, or $4,000. Still a lot of money. Like, someone just spent $4,000 on our website. And so that's the one I consider like our first plunge, like this moment. And it was a woman out of the Bay Area. She actually owned another float spa. So I think she might've been following us maybe through our personal Instagram. We hadn't really promoted it. Anyway, she saw it. She bought one. So that's the first like unit that I consider like through our website. So that was, I don't remember the original question, but that was the first unit that we sold. And it was definitely an aha moment that we might have something here.
But that's such a great story. One of the things I want to dive into that you mentioned was this really difficult moment for you when you were shutting down a business and, you know, you moved into an RV. When we talk about the idea of ownership, it's amazing to live in ownership, but it does not come without its struggles and failures. So talk to us about your journey through that really difficult moment of, you know, having to shut down a business. And now that you're well on the other side of it, you know, talk us through that entire process for you.
That was like such a blindsided moment. Like, Capital Floats was cruising. We were probably 2 months out from opening our second center. So, you know, I was at a very stable position in my life. My schedule was awesome. Everything was great. And then the business, you know, COVID-19 happened just like everyone in the world, just boom, you know, we shut down. 2 weeks of the shutdown turned into months and didn't quite know what was happening. My girlfriend and I at the time, and we're still together now, but we broke up. So I went through that. My cash flow was dried up. There was this was pre-PPP or anything really there. So we didn't have any clarity of money and the bank. Anyways, bank account was getting low. I decided to move into the RV to kind of save some money. That was my decision of like, okay, this is, what am I going to do? What type of move can I control right now? I felt like control was very limited. So it was like, that felt like a move to do. But it's like, the thing I always think about is like owning my own business. To me, it's actually more like the thing about you. I mean, you guys have it in your brand is like own it. It's like just ownership over everything. So having my own company, it's like there was nothing I could turn to be like, go fix this someone. Like, it was like, Ryan, you have to fix, like, you need to deal with this. Like, there was no, I always think about that. Sometimes being an employee, you're kind of at the mercy of the owner of the company, like, to handle stuff and make the decisions. Where to me, it's like, I think it's what I actually enjoy about owning the company. It's like, it's all in my hands. Like, you know, and yes, I build it with a team and I do it with people. But at the end of the day, like, there's no one I can point this finger to. And it's like so liberating. I just take that off the table. Like, there's nothing to even think about there of, you know, who's going to help me. And so I felt like in that moment, while it was super stressful, it was like, I could make decisions that I actually felt I could, you know, that could help me in the long run. And in that time, it was, you know, it was a super chaotic about three to four months of unknown, you know, is the business going to last? It went from like a really sound business to, is this even, are we going to be able to reopen? That type of question to, you know, and then to launching Plunge, like coming out the other side. I think it was like the perfect time. It was like things were already chaotic. Launching a new company is the most chaotic thing. And it was like, this is perfect. Like, this is, I'm wearing every hat. I'm in the garage cutting PVC pipe. I'm taking customer service calls. It's like it was no different than what I'd been doing the last 4 months of like getting Capital Floats back open, or, you know, dealing with an RV or whatever all the things were. But, you know, coming out that other side, I feel like for Plunge, we're kind of getting to that spot now where it's much more stable. It's still chaotic. We're still in this like startup phase. But that first year, probably 15 months, we moved like 6 to 7 locations, you know, new building all the time. Product that we launched that was still had room for improvement. So working with a lot of customers on, you know, and our integrity was everything of like how our, who we are as a company. Like, if we're going to put this product out, we're going to make it right with everyone. So there was just so much chaos that happened over that window. But coming out the other side now, it's like, you just don't think about it when you're in it. Like, when you're going for it, you just do it. If you overly think about it, it's very, it, you know, it can bring you down, but it's just like, you just do the next thing. And know that the sprint, you know, it's all, everything's a season, and you'll get to the other side to it, and you'll come out, and you'll, there will be a time for a deep breath, and you'll look back and be like, man, it was all worth it. And time's just like a really, like, that's 15 months. That's not that long, you know, like, really. It's the thing I say. It's like, if you commit to something, even just 3 months, do something for 3 months. Like, you know how far you're going to be into how different your life will look. And it's like, just, it, you know, even the one degree, that's 180 degrees. You're in the opposite direction. That's a complete turnaround in your life. That's 6 months. It's like, you know, we I don't think we credit how much we can get done. We overemphasize what we can get done in a day or a week. And we underemphasize what we can get done in a quarter, a half year, or a year. And I think that's, you know, looking back, it's like, I'm even impressed of like, wow, we were able to do this. But like, you know, it was so daunting day to day, and just taking it bite size, piece by piece.
It makes the hair on my arm stand up when you said it's amazing to see what you can do if you really, truly commit to something and spend 6 months doing something, spend a year doing something. Because very rarely will you ever have somebody do that. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's you want to make your relationship better. I don't care if it's you want to get in better shape. I don't care if it's you want to build your own home. I don't care if you want to build a deck. I don't care if you want to go and prepare yourself to buy a puppy. Like, if you don't commit to something, you won't commit to anything. And you're going to be stuck in the same whirlwind over and over and over again. And it we live that every single day. And so I think the level of relatability we have there, and I think a lot of our listeners will have that relatability as well, because there's different seasons that they're going through. It's a season of growth. It's a season of being stagnant. It's like, how do I have to create this new refresh? Because I'm committed to the path I'm on. I'm committed to the mission that I'm on. And that's so, so powerful.
It's something I always think about with, forget which founder it was. It was a woman listening to her speak. Anyways, they were raising money. They got turned down by probably 100 VC firms on the money they were trying to raise. And they came back a year later and got multiple offers, higher than what they had asked for a year ago. And they were like, what was the secret? And she was like, I literally did what I said I was going to do. I came back a year later and they were all blown away that she had actually done the plan that she had said a year ago. And to me, that's the secret to the whole thing, is just do what you say you're going to do. Like, and yes, there's times you move, it's times you got to adjust and you got to, you know, make a change or pivot a little, or, you know, it's never exactly how you think it's going to be. But like you said, just commit and consistency. Like that's the skill set. I don't think I have like a real amazing skill set in a lot of things. It's just wherever I got it, my parents, whatever, just like kind of just keep moving forward. It's brought a lot of amazing opportunities to my life. And so it's the more as time goes, it's like, that's the, you know, unless you're some elite engineer, you know, there's a geniuses out there. I think the secret's in just doing the consistent thing.
My father always said to me, son, talent will get you noticed, but consistency will get you paid. And
there it is.
Something that I've just always held near and dear to my heart, and tried to been on a lifelong journey to figure out what I can do to be the most consistent version of myself. I want to go back to something you said. When you put out your first product, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't what you wanted it to be. You wanted to get it out there. You wanted to start it. But you said, we are going to make it right with everyone. And the level of integrity that exists there is amazing, because you know that the customer experience, the customer journey is what matters. And at the end of the day, you are on a mission to create a product that's great, that's solving a problem and solving a need for people. And you're putting it out there. You're getting it done. Hey, this is a great product. that we can make iterations on. This isn't a finished product. This isn't perfect. We're going to continue to improve it, but we're going to give it out to everybody and learn with everybody as we go through. And involving the customer in that way is amazing. Where did that value system come from? And is it something that you were able to instill in the entire company? And is it something that you still operate through from today?
Yeah. I mean, the word integrity is written on our wall right when you walk into our building. And integrity, what it means to us is doing what you say you're going to do. Like, it comes down to that. Like, what you say, you follow through. And, you know, for us starting out as this consumer-facing brand of what we were building, we knew people were taking a risk with us. You know, it's like, yeah, Mike and I had some other experience in companies, and so we had built some trust that way. Brand new product on the market, like, you know, we hand delivered, I think, our first 20 units to Northern California. We drove to either San Francisco, all around Sacramento. Like, we were in the backyard, Mike and I, setting these up for every customer.
I love the grind. Love the grind.
And we knew, like, this is our way. We're gonna, like, we get to meet everyone. It was so cool. I mean, the excitement of everyone, of like, you know, there's these early adopters into, there's not really this home cold plunge unit on the market. They were so excited, but it also gave us an opportunity to like build some trust with them.
9 gallons of ice into every time.
Exactly. And they, you know, we built trust that, hey, if there's an issue, call us. Like, let's talk about this. Like, let's get it right. And so, you know, our unit, we've created a lot of iterations over time, you know, cutting down on where we were before to where we are now is completely, in a, you know, I think that's the best thing. It's like, there's much less issues than, you know, when we first started. But it was, I don't know, that was just Mike and I, like, that's in our ethos. Like,
outstanding.
We're saying it, like, we are not going to put a, like, this product, it again goes to the whole thing of like, it needs to be something net positive. I don't want to be like causing issues in someone's life. I want to be helping, like making their life better. And so it went to the product. Like, this product, yeah, it sucks if there's like in the short term some issues, but like, we're going to figure this out. And we're going to, like, whatever it costs to get someone out there, if we can't get there, however it works. Like, it just, and you ask where that comes from, you know, probably some upbringing. Psychedelics, you know, just being like, you know, really
ultimately
going through challenging stuff there. What's that?
It's how you would want to be treated.
Exactly. It's totally. And it's, you know, I just couldn't imagine if we had something that was like causing like a net frustration in people's, like, I can't live with that. I can't live with that. Like, that doesn't work for me.
I totally get it. The one thing I want to dive into is, you went and obviously everybody's seen, if you watch Shark Tank, we know that you guys were on Shark Tank. We know you went in there. And it's shortly after, just to paint a picture for all the listeners, it's shortly after you had a failed business. And it's now you've gotten back on the horse, you've dove back into entrepreneurship, you've started this new product, now you're going in front of these extremely successful people who have seen everything under the sun. How did that experience, how did you feel going into it? And B, how was it actually being on a show as flaunted as that one?
Felt really good going into it. We were just about a year in. Company had grown extensively over that first year. Product was really well fit. Like, we just felt really confident. We knew the business really well, so that was really comfortable for us. You know, going in, there's so many unique sides to it. It's like, the sharks themselves were very inviting. They were really cool with us. But it's a radical environment to be pitching your company to five renowned entrepreneurs that have no context of our company, that we have to get this whole story out. It's not like they got a pitch deck prior and they have some understanding. It's like, I want to listen to this pitch. And you got, you know, we're out there for about 40 minutes with them. We have to tell the story. And then what gets wild is like, the offers start flying in and it's like, oh, I'm negotiating my company in front of like these ABC producers that's going to go out to the world. Like, and it's happening so quick. There's no like, hey, we'll get back to you tomorrow. We need to sit back and talk about this. And it was interesting how the show was cut. You know, I think it made us look more, I don't know what the word is, but more witty than what we were, or more sharp than what was really happening, because they cut it very quick. It's, you know, it came down to a 6-minute show that goes on TV. And it's like the offers are flying in. And there was a lot more of the offers that were being discussed and things. And there was a moment where I was like, hey, can Mike and I like go off and talk for a second? Like, we need to like go and have a conversation. So we went off and had a conversation. And I'm like, this is when it's like hitting me. First, I learned adrenaline is one of the craziest things. Like, I didn't do anything daunting. I didn't go climb a mountain or something or go swimming. But I had never been so tired in my life. Like, I was literally just standing there and I just had this adrenaline rush. So I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, we'll go back and talk to Mike. Mike's maybe got some ideas. And I go back to him. I'm like, hey, do you understand what they're saying? He's like, I don't have a clue. And we're just like whispering like behind, like, you know, on the camera still. And I'm just like, oh shit. Like, we got to get off this stage like without looking like I don't even know two of the offers, what they even meant. Like Mr. Wonderful's, I was like, I don't even know what those terms are. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, he had some deal. It was just that moment of like, oh, we're in a position that we have to get off this set with some level of keeping our, you know, while representing the company, looking professional and doing it, and it ended up great. But yeah, it was a very, man, nerves, massive, and also just like fun. It felt like, for me at least, I had built my career built through entrepreneurship. This wasn't like I launched a product and it was like 3 months later I'm on Shark Tank or Plunge. Yeah, we had been open for a year, but I felt like it was kind of a, you know, I've been in entrepreneurship for 7 to 8 years.
Every experience that you had been through up until that moment was preparing you to be on that stage.
That's exactly what I felt, man. I felt like you've like go play full out. Like you made it into some pro league. Like you worked your butt off for this. Like go have fun. Like give it a whirl. And so I was, you know, that.
Which is the exact reason why you are able to eliminate that imposter syndrome of being there, because you deserve to be there. You've earned the right. You've put the time in. You've put in the reps. And now I'm on this stage.
I wanted to be honest with them. If I like didn't, like granted, we didn't know some of those deals, but like just wanted to go. It was like such an honor for me to go be with Mark Cuban or, you know, Barbara and some of these other people that have just built these incredible, I'm in awe of what they've built. And it was like, just go be yourself with them. Like, you know, share what you've been up to and share the company. So it was overall, we had a blast.
Yeah, it
was
a great experience for you to have. And, you know, especially after everything you shared with us earlier about coming off of a really difficult time in your life, and then to be able to jump into this and to jump into, you know, like Justin said, like you said, this moment that your entire life was preparing you for. And now to be on the flip side of that, and, you know, you describe it still as a startup and, you know, working out your kinks, of course, we understand that as well, but really being able to be in this amazing space, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
One of the questions I want to ask you next, and this is one of our listeners' favorite questions, is from somebody who is so clearly in alignment with their purpose, their values, their mission, their vision, somebody who so clearly lives in what we call ownership, what would you say is your definition of ownership in a word or a phrase?
Ooh, never heard it phrased exactly that way. I think it's freedom.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's like, you even said it before, it's ownership over everything. And I think that it summarized it really well. And when you live in that ownership mentality, you have that freedom because you know that you can't point the finger at anybody. It's literally up to you to show up every day and be able to exist and be there and execute at a high level. And you're able to control what you can. And I think that's exciting, is paving the journey and knowing that it's going to be a roller coaster. Get on, buckle up, because it's going to be a fun ride. As people are listening, and guys, I'm honest when I say this, and there's zero incentive here. I love what they've done. If you're ever looking for cold plunging and kind of incorporating this into your lifestyle, you know, the hassles of like, hey, I got to go get ice. Hey, I got to go and like stand in this cold shower. I can turn the knob whenever I want. But no, this is like a literal tub that goes outside. It looks nice. It's well built. It fits your entire body. It can literally withstand the elements. It's got its own filtration system. You don't have to fill it up every single time. You can control the temperature. So if you're just new to it, you can slowly ease your way into getting cooler and cooler and cooler. It can heat up and it can be almost like a glorified hot tub in some ways, shapes and forms. Like it's outstanding what they've put together and made cold plunging accessible for everybody. So I really suggest that you guys go check them out. And Ryan, where can everybody find you and as well as the cold plunge?
Yeah, so Cold Plunge is thecoldplunge.com. If you type in Cold Plunge on Google, we'll be right there. So thecoldplunge.com. And yeah, it's going to have all your Cold Plunge questions. IG, same thing. We're pretty big there. TikTok, I mean, YouTube. You type in Cold Plunge, you'll find us. Me personally, pretty active on Instagram, just Ryan A. Dewey. Share there. Similar, got a podcast going. So yeah, I mean, IG, wherever.
I love it.
Find me. We'll connect.
I love it. Like I said, guys, I highly recommend you start following, get involved, reach out, own it. And the Cold Plunge have really leaned in together, and it's exciting to see what we've got coming down the hop together. But it's your alignments create your assignments, and knowing that you can align with the people with similar missions, vision, and values allows you to do that. And as you guys go on, do hard things on purpose. As you're an entrepreneur, as you're living your life, as you're leaning into whatever it is that you're going through, do hard things on purpose, because it is going to give you the confidence and the ownership to step up no matter what you're faced with, no matter what the battle is. And whatever it is you do choose to commit to it. Do simple better. When you can step back and look at everything that you have going on and be able to say, you know what, I'm committed to this. This is something that means something to me. This is something that I have a massive passion and purpose for. This lights a fire inside of me. Commit to that and don't let that go. No matter how deep that valley gets, continue to stay with it. Continue to keep chipping away, because it's all about integrity. And when you can show up for yourself, you can show up for others. Because at the end of the day, do what you say you are going to do, and it's amazing how your life will begin to transform. We know that ownership exists. We know it's ownership over everything. Success is different, so own your different, and we'll see you next week.